Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, July 20th, 2018. With me today, Andrew Orr. How are you, Andrew?
Hey, I'm doing good today.
Good to have you here. And Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I am good. It seems like it's been a long week.
It does. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, but yeah, it does. It feels like this week's been more like 10 days.
Yes. Woo, Friday. All right.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop. Yeah. And I'm all excited for the weekend, and yet I'm going to spend most of it sitting in front of my computer because I really need to get my slide deck together for WordCamp Denver.
Well, speaking of slide decks, the funny thing is that we actually had the big topic for the show today, which was why Dave hasn't watched Doctor Who. And, but we just didn't have the cameras or the microphones rolling.
I know. Had we had that, I would have already published today's show.
Yeah, it already be done. It already, we already had our work done for us. But no, instead we have to talk about Apple stuff.
I know. It's how we roll. Anyhow, hey, WordCamp Denver, that's next weekend. So July 28th, come hear me talk about podcasting at WordCamp Denver. There'll be a link in the show notes. And I'll actually have my keynote slides ready because I need to make them this weekend.
You gonna have a Doctor Who slide in there for me?
I mean,
you are now, right?
Yeah, apparently now I'm going to have a Doctor Who themed slide in there somewhere.
Excellent, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'll find a way to make it work. So fake iPhones, Brian, you found one. It's a knockoff iPhone that looks strikingly accurate, only costs $100. It's running Android.
If you squint your eyes just right.
Yeah.
Strikingly accurate.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah. And
right. Should I tell you about it?
Yeah. I want to hear about this.
Okay. So here's the number one thing. The number one thing is that it has the notch just like the iPhone, except for that it's software controlled. It's just blocked out pixels. So this is $100 iPhone 10 that awesome. Some folks at Motherboard found in China. Apparently, one of the reporters was over in China in one of the places where you can find things like this, and she sends a text message to the guy who actually wrote it. And she's like, "Hey, I found a $100 iPhone 10. You want one?" He's like, "Well, of course, I want one.
Take two."
I mean, they knew that it was a knockoff, but they were really curious as to what it would come with. And so, like, it is both like shockingly close and yet oh so far away. So in addition to the software control where they just block out the pixels, which is still killing me.
That's clever, though.
It is clever, but I mean, it's so funny when you consider like the angst pre-notch release, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh my God, it's like the screen's worthless. Anyway, so the box is really close, but the images are a little bit blurry and the colors aren't as saturated.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, they right? probably just grabbed images off the internet and
probably actually photographed a box. Probably photographed a box and printed that.
Or photographed a box and didn't right? bother to make sure the focus was right.
Sure. And
or just blew the image up and yeah.
Whatever. There's an insert in there that looked like Apple's insert, but a little off. The other so it looks like iOS 11. It's got, it's got the right wallpaper. The icons look like I've got a picture. They put lots of pictures and lots of screenshots in there for you to see it. And I just grabbed one of them for my piece. And you look at it, it looks like an iPhone 10.
So that means it's probably just like an iPhone 10, and you're going to save, what, $900?
No.
So why not just get this?
Okay, it's running Android. Uh-huh. While the icons look right, the apps, of course, it turns out, and this is kind of funny, that they're not actually the Apple apps because, you know, it's running Android. Right. The settings look really close to a proper iPhone settings, but, you know, again, still Android. Face ID, this is one of my favorites. There's two favorites I've got besides the notch. So three favorites.
And a maniacal devotion to the Pope.
That's, yes.
Exactly. I'll step out and start over.
Face ID works. So
that's impressive.
It really, really is. I mean, okay, fine. Fine. It lets, like, once you set it up, it actually lets any face open your device. but it works. It actually goes through the motion of you adding a face. It just, you know, doesn't actually do anything with it. The other thing is that they took the time to either find on the interwebs or recreate themselves the Siri interface, the Siri animation with the, you know, stuff squiggling around at the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't actually do anything, but it looks marvelous.
So this and phone plays well from stage, is what you're saying.
Yeah. From stage, it would actually probably be just fine. And then when they dug around and they found that the whoever actually made this phone had tried to connect that animation, that Siri animation, to a, you know, crappy Android voice control app, but they didn't succeed. But they tried,
and they just ran with it anyhow.
Yeah, the hooks are in there. They, you know, probably just couldn't actually get it to fix. And pièce de résistance on this thing is that it is riddled with both malware and backdoors galore.
Oh boy!
And like there are apps that have like all of the permissions. There are remote access hooks all over it. And the guys, the motherboard had taken it to a motherboard owned by a Vice magazine, if you remember. Mm-hmm. They had taken it to a New York City security firm, like the kind of firm that might possibly try to open up iPhones for the cops, that sort of thing, or do forensic analysis for the cops.
Okay. And they look at this one, they're like, oh, God, this
well, is like the they stuck it in ever. A. They stuck it in a Faraday bag before they took it inside their office because they really didn't want to mess them with anything else that was going on.
That seemed prudent.
Yeah, it seems extremely prudent. And their conclusion was that it's riddled with malware and all these security problems, but they couldn't tell if it was just mediocrity or maliciousness.
Oh wow!
Which that just there's something about that just totally kills me. So anyway, really, this phone is aimed at someone in China, who wants to appear to be seen with an iPhone 10.
Sure, I know that in lots of places, simply having the iPhone 10 is seen as as a prestigious thing.
Yeah, and there are lots of iPhone knockoffs. Some better and some less. Actually, a few better than this one, but some not so good that are aimed at that mentality in China.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then this is just the ongoing issue that Apple has always had in China with having its intellectual property respected. But you know, it's fascinating that they could do all this with and sell it for $100. I mean, they made a phone,
and they put a lot of work into skinning Android to make
it. Yeah. Look. Well, they may have just taken a bunch of other work that was out there, which may well be why there were so many back doors in it. and other issues, right? So they're just grabbing stuff off the internet of people who have tried to skin iOS. You know, who knows what kind of gobbledygook that's going to come with, which is part of why
I think we know now what kind of gobbledygook it comes with.
Fair enough. And the thing I just said there is a good part of why this security firm couldn't tell if it was mediocrity or malice.
That's really funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. There's one thing about their article, the motherboard article, that I vehemently disagree with. It's a really interesting write-up. My take on it has got all of the stuff that I thought was most important. If you find the story interesting, you should definitely click through and read the motherboard piece. But at the end, they conclude and this is a quote, maybe this phone isn't Apple's iPhone 10, but it is an iPhone 10. And I could not disagree with that any more stridently. It's not an iPhone 10. It's not running iOS. It's not hardware made by Apple. So it's not an iPhone 10. It's not an iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am with you. It is not an iPhone. It may look very similar to an iPhone intentionally, but it's still not an iPhone.
So it looks like a duck, but it doesn't quack like one.
Right.
Right. Therefore, it is not a witch.
Exactly. So burner anyway.
That's a fair cop.
And scene.
Hey, Andrew, you found a study that says that even though people are all cranky pants about subscription app models, that people are still spending a bunch of money on apps. So what's up with that?
So there's this company called Creative Strategies. They sent a survey out to 800 people in the US, both iOS and Android users. And they found that even though we've all been complaining about the rise of app subscriptions, iOS users still tend to spend more when it comes to paid apps and also in-app purchases. Mm-hmm. And then they asked some questions about, you know, how often do they browse the app store and how easy it is to discover new apps. And I mean, basically, when it comes to making money, as we know for a while now, iOS is the way to go.
Yeah. That's something that's been shown over and over. So, the whole thing with people being cranky about the prices for apps, I kind of blame Apple for that part, because Apple set the precedent when the App Store for the iPhone initially launched by pushing prices down low. And, you know, like a dollar or free apps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's so many apps out there that should be priced way higher than that. And yet they're not. And so people have this false sense that apps should be incredibly cheap.
Yeah. And this expectation. Can I go into why I thought this was interesting?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
We have talked a lot about, like, you know, there's just so many subscriptions I can handle, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about for years now. We talked about this, like when Microsoft moved to subscription. Microsoft was keen on subscriptions a long time ago, during the Ballmer administration. Mm-hmm. But I like to call them the lost years. And there was and then of course Adobe was moving to a subscription, and then we had the smaller app developers that were moving to subscriptions, and we're like, you know I don't know if we ever called it this, but we were essentially talking about subscription fatigue.
Yes. Yeah, we were,
right? And a similar note, we've been talking about subscription fatigue in the ever-growing number of paid streaming services with original content. Mm-hmm. Right. And we talk about, like, how like there's a line in the sand somewhere for us. Well, it turns out that according to the survey that Andrew found, we might say those things, but we're paying anyway. And considering the fact that the developers, I'm not talking about Microsoft and I'm not talking about Adobe, but especially the small developers who have gone to subscription pricing have done so because they needed to keep the doors open. Right. This is probably good news.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally get why so many of these app developers have been transitioning to subscription. It's a model that's worked well at the enterprise level for decades. And there are so many people that will buy an app version and then not upgrade for like 5 years, if ever. And that means that in that 5 year window, the developer isn't getting additional revenue. And yes, I know I'm really simplifying it right there, but that's the idea. Developers need recurring revenue if they're going to be able to.
Well, they need consistent revenue.
Yeah,
recurring revenue is one way to consistent revenue.
Yeah,
and developers also don't want to have to sit on new features to justify the paid upgrade a year from now.
That's true, and that's been a cycle that people have had to deal with for a very long time.
We always basically took it as a given that they're working on these new features, and it's going to come in a big paid upgrade that we'll probably be cranky about having to pay for too. I mean, the reality is that we as humans kind of get cranky when we have to pay for stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of our way.
it's kind of our way, and. I would say that, I mean, admittedly, it's just one survey. Andrew, what's your take on how accurate it is?
Well, like I said in my piece, the sample size of 800 is pretty small, but I still think we can agree mostly with these results, just because this is something that we've been hearing for years now, like you said.
Well, then I would suggest, if this survey is accurate and accurately reflects the mood of the people, so to speak, subscription pricing is here and it's going to continue. It's probably going to grow. There'll be more of it.
I agree completely. Once the big companies decided that they're going to bring subscription to outside of the enterprise market, that was just the opening of the floodgates, and that made it easier for smaller developers to do the same. And as a result, I now have to keep track of multiple app subscriptions all the time so that I know what I'm really spending on the software that I use.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's how it is now. We're living in more and more a subscription app world.
Yeah, well, subscription apps, subscription music, mm-hmm.
Subscription TVs and movies.
Ever more so, subscription TVs and movies. Amazon is busily trying to move us to subscription books.
Mm-hmm.
It is a subscription world.
Yeah. And people, if you want to try out an excellent subscription book model, there's this this really great system. It's called Library. And you're already paying for it through your taxes. So go visit your library and check some books out.
Yeah, that's a free subscription.
Well, we are paying taxes.
Well, that's true. That's true.
And if you don't return your book on time, you pay penalties. So it's as close to a free subscription as we can get.
Yeah.
And it is pretty awesome. Hey, we're out of time. We need to wrap up. Andrew, thank you for being here today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you for having us. Always good to be here, Jeff, and definitely had a good time.
It's always fun. Like every single day, I have fun.
Really?
At least with the show.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And listeners, I am so glad that you've joined us all week long. I really appreciate having you along for the ride every single day. Come see me at WordCamp Denver, July 28th. We will have a blast together. I am certain of it. And everyone have a wonderful weekend. We will see you again on Monday.